copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
The democratization of media, a missional challenge for the global church. Today's media world is changing rapidly. It's changing, you know, as we look, really. And today's media world is very different from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and even almost from yesterday. It's a dynamic, changing world. And the world of the media mirrors the wider world. It's as if the media is a laboratory where we can study what's happening in the world at large. The well-known British theologian and mission leader globally, John Stott, coined the expression double listening. We need to listen to the Word and the world in order to relate the Word to the world. Whereas the Word of God is unchanging in its truth, the world is ever-changing, is a very in dynamic flux the whole time. So I would like to highlight, first of all, the big picture. What is the overall picture when we look at the media of today? And why is that making a difference in terms of the mission of the church and also the mission of the global church? And there are at least five dimensions that we may highlight. The first dimension is the fact that today's media are becoming more and more digital. Digital technology, as we all know, creates the platform, the channels, and provides the formats of all, well, at least of many, many of today's media. This is partly what we call new media, but also in convergence with the old media. So this means that we encounter a very fascinating situation with some old and some new and some converging, like new formats and genres. And what is then happening through this digitalization of the media? Well, one of the which we'll highlight in this lecture is the fact that media all over the world goes through a process of democratization. That means that there are more and more people get access to media, not just as users, but as producers. We'll come back to that. Thirdly, it's a question of fragmentation. Previously, you know, we, like memories, we probably have at least those of us who were born from, you know, before the digital revolution and grew up before that. We have memories of being, you know, gathered as a nation, probably, or as a community, as a national community, around the same television program. It may be, for example, a football or soccer fight, you know, match between two countries, for example, in the World Championships. Or it may be, you know, real events like a royal wedding in the UK or whatever. You know, these kinds of events, they created a sense of national community. And sometimes that happens today as well. More rarely, much more rarely, of course, now. But today it's a matter of a fragmentation, both on the side of the sending media, but also on the side of the receiving end. So it's a fragmentation, more and more voices on the producing end, and more ways of receiving and listening and consuming on the other end. So it's a digitalization, it's a democratization, it's a fragmentation, but it's also globalization. It's also something happening all over the world. And don't know if we really know the implications of that or the extent of that right now. In India, there's a huge project. Each and every village is to have access to broadband. That's a huge project. Around the whole continent of Africa, there is a broadband connecting people more and more. In Kenya, they have the most advanced mobile banking system in the world, at least when I last checked it. So it's an amazing dynamic development globally. And then the last and not the least, through these processes, it's also pluralization. It's an increasing number of voices, of different voices with different messages. So the increasing number of worldview, secular and religious worldviews present in our cultures has to do with the media. Wherever technology goes, the media goes. Wherever the media goes, all the worldviews follow. Through the news media, which often are secular, through the documentary media, which often also have a secular perspective, outlook, but also through entertainment media and creative media. So we need to have the big picture. Moving then from the big picture to the question, how does this whole process of the democratization of the media, how does that transform churches and transform global Christian mission? Well, first of all, we are all becoming media users. I think that's worth underlining. We are all becoming media users. That means we are all becoming media consumers. So when we think about a missional approach, missional thinking, a missiological approach to the media, we need to include that aspect that we are first of all media users and media consumers. That also involves those of us who work professionally with things that has to do with media. We actually first of all media users and consumers. That means that there is a need for media awareness, there is a need for media critique, a need for media literacy, a need for tools for educating people in media literacy in the global setting. So this means that we need to take this really, really seriously. And one of the things I've heard most when being part of the Lausanne movement as responsible for media within the global Lausanne missionary movement is the need from so many places expressed. We need resources, tools to engage the media, to engage the media as families, to engage the media as churches, to engage media messages as youth ministries, to help children, tweens, teenagers, and so on. So we need tools for media critique. Sometimes I invite students back home in Norway or in other places to watch a news broadcast, maybe the first 3 minutes, and then we look at it, and people first of all try to remember the stories after having looked at them, which isn't that easy. And then secondly, to ask, why were these stories chosen? Why? What kind of angles and perspectives? Who were the sources? Why were they chosen? What were the questions asked? What were the questions not asked? Who were the sources not being asked? And so on. And often we just consume without asking these kinds of questions. In terms of fictional stories, that's a huge and very fascinating area. How to engage movies? How to engage soap operas? It is actually said that today soap operas, you know, TV series, they are among the most important influencers in today's culture. It is usually in soap operas where cultural taboos are broken. That's where new things are introduced, new ideas, new concepts. So we need to take that seriously. So we are all becoming media users, but we are secondly also all becoming media producers. Through the digital technology, through the internet, we all have the potential of producing material. Especially through the social media, of course. But let us also notice that every church, every Christian organization, and every Christian institution are becoming media publishers and media distributors. This means that it's not just the old traditional media communicators that are on the scene, but each and every Christian church is getting its own website, for example. Well, then they are entering the media world. It's getting, you know, photos up online, it's getting messages, sermons, maybe program what's happening, news reports, whatever, and then through the social media linking up to people. And the same is true of organizations, of missions, of ministries, parachurch ministries. So I don't think we have taken that seriously, that every Christian organization, church, is becoming a media ministry. That means that there is a new situation, a complex situation, and a new competitive situation with new players on the field, so to speak, where you have the old traditional media organizations competing with the new because of the democratization of the media. But it's not just that. As we said, it's every individual Christian is becoming his or her own editor, at least potentially. His or her own publisher and his or her own distributor. Not necessarily to massive amount of people, but at least to a circle of people. And that circle is not closed because of the social media, the dynamics of that. So what are the missional implications for the global church? Well, there are many, but let's think about some of them. In relation to evangelism, we really need to take seriously that in the case of the media, we need to focus on the personal side of things. We need to share the personal stories, shared lives, shared life stories, and shared testimonies. And of course, that doesn't make our, automatically make our stories true. But in order to include other people, invite other people into our lives. For many people, many don't have Christian friends. So we need to share openly. And I think that's one of the glories of social media, that people actually, many Christians, courageously share what they are doing as a natural way of going to church. Well, telling about that, that creates then, maybe someone is asking, I saw that you were listened or heard that and so and so. How was that? At least it's an opportunity, an invitation. If you have real friendships, sharing is part of that. But also, if we all share the same media world, well, we don't all share the same media world, but we share aspects of the same media world. We have all our circles, you know, different, and they overlap to some extent. But think of some of the movies that are on. Think of some of the soap operas that are so immensely popular. Can we relate to those also through social media, through our own ways of interacting? Then we can affirm, that is, celebrate what is there, what is true and lovely and beautiful and honorable, but also challenge that which needs to be challenged. We can relate to our shared media world. So these were just some of the implications for evangelism, but we may go on and talk about some of the implications for teaching as well. And I find that fascinating. In churches nowadays, you will find that many young people especially, and increasingly also older people, They are not just listening to their pastor, their youth minister. They're also listening to all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of, you know, visiting all kinds of websites, which I think in principle is really good. You know, we shouldn't limit people's horizon, but we should open up. But it means that the teaching people receive today is not just limited to the local church, to the local ministry, but it's so much more plural. And that creates new opportunities, but also new challenges. We need to relate to the fact that it's not possible any longer to control the content, if that ever was something that should be done. But also, how do we actually teach in a world where people are used to interactivity? And I think there is a need to involve people more and more in teaching through stories, through illustrations, through an open attitude towards questions, through creating arenas of feedback, through inviting friends, neighbors, relatives. We need a dynamic approach. So there is a need to ask, what are the implications for evangelism, for teaching, but also for discipleship, for each one of us who are Christians? What do we think about? What do we think about in terms of discipleship when we think about the media? We could think of it in terms of both faith, life, and witness. In terms of our faith, I think there is a need for us to navigate, to balance between the central focus of our faith and the periphery. There are so many things in a world where there is a democratization of the media. Of course, there are many, many things that are low quality, less good, that is available, that does not have the quality content that we would wish, both for our own consumption, but also for those we are serving in our Christian contexts. So we need to draw people back to the center, and also to be ignited ourselves by a passion for the gospel. There are things that are secondary, and there are things that are primary related to the Christian faith. There are things that are essential and things that are not essential. And we need to recapture, I think, that commitment to the truth of the gospel, but also be willing to say that a number of issues are not essential and central. In terms of our life, it's as if we need to navigate between liberty on one hand and legalism on the other hand. You know the old Greek story of Scylla and Charybdis, to navigate between the two rocks, as it were. You know, we may sail on each of those rocks, actually, in this new media world. You know, it's just a couple of clicks away in a world filled with financial, economical forces that want to influence us. In terms of pornography on the internet, in terms of violence, in terms of humiliation of the view of women, in terms of humiliation of how to relate to each other. And we could add so many other aspects, and we need to be responsible consumers. Neither totally accept nor totally reject, but have a critical attitude. And in our witness, you know, we may sometimes feel that there is less and less that unites us with the people who do not confess the Christian faith. But then we all have, at least to some extent, a shared media world to relate to. And I think that is often underestimated. For example, to ask whether someone has seen a recent popular film. And how did you find that film? What did you think about so-and-so? And maybe in a natural way, in a spontaneous way, in a natural relationship, but also in a more organized way, in a church context, there is always a possibility of raising these kind of issues. The point of contact, we need to navigate between the point of contact and the points of tension. So we have talked about the democratization of media, which is a huge emerging field we need to try to get to grips with. And let me finish with the quote by the famous Christian author Os Guinness. He talks about there are three grand global tasks for the global church today, also in relationship to the media. First of all, to win back the West. That is a huge challenge. Secondly, to prepare the church in the global South for the modernization, for the globalization. And thirdly, to contribute to our common human future. And that, I think, is a very appropriate place to stop and to reflect and to say these three grand tasks relate in a very real sense to the democratization of media. If we are to win back the West, we need to take the media seriously and the democratization of the media. The same is true for preparing the church in the global South, and the same is true, we want to seek the shalom of the city to contribute to our common human future.